Across the line on Tip FM with Thurles Credit Union, offering a comprehensive suite of loans at exceptionally keen rates. Apply today at thurlescu.ie.
You're welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Brophy, your Friday evening build-up to the sporting weekend in the Premier County. And we have another busy show for you over the next hour, looking ahead to another weekend in action for the players and supporters of Loughmore Castellini as they travel to Ennis on Sunday to play Aeroge in the Munster Club Senior Football Quarter-Final. We'll also look ahead to the final round of the Miller Shield tomorrow with JJ Kennedy and who might be in Colin Bonner's senior training panel, which will be announced early next week. In part three, we'll hear from Cashel RFC head coach Darragh Lyons ahead of tomorrow's All-Ireland League game against Dolphin. Cashel in a terrific game, run of form at the moment. And in the final part of the show, we'll talk Tipper TSNDL soccer with our own Ronan Quirk. And as always, we'll wrap up by Talking Dogs with Barry Drake. So all that and more over the next 55 minutes or so. So why not stay tuned? And we begin with Gaelic football, where on Sunday at Cusick Park in Ennis at 1 o'clock, the Loughmore Castellini train rolls into Ennis for the Munster Club Senior Football Quarter Final against Aeroge of Ennis. Again, we can hear live here on Tip FM from 1 o'clock, and will be brought to you by O'Connell Centre in Templemore. And to look ahead to the game, I'm joined by former Loughmore Castellini and Tipperary player Micheál Webster, and former Clare goalkeeper and former member of the Tipperary senior football backroom team, Joe Hayes. Gentlemen, you're welcome to the show.
How's it going, Chad?
Good to have you. Micheál, I'll start with you. Have you been able to stop smiling in Loughmore yet this week?
Oh, we're just coming down third. I think more the parish than the players. I think the players are fairly grounded, and I'm just in my head now. I'm going to get my voice back the last 2 days. I think the shouting we did over the last few weeks has caught up on us, but sure, look, we're delighted to where we are, and great bunch of men, and we're happy to be going on the road again, following them next again.
Yeah, and I'm sure we've been talking to Frankie and the players a lot, but I'm sure from the outside looking in as a former player, and to see what these group of players have done to come back from the double disappointment of last year to go a step further on both this year, it's an incredible mentality within this group.
Yeah, it was an agonising year last year, and you know, it was with COVID and all that, and to lose to them by a point, you know, was so hard. Like the football, like, you know, a killer goal, and the hurling killer goal as well, like, you know, and I suppose these lads have, you know, there's great stuff in them. Like, I think there's 19 of them on the panel that have two doubles won now, and that'll just tell you, like, you know, that's 8 years, like, you know, so it'll just tell you going back, you know what I mean, the lads stick together, and you know, they go through the hard times, but, you know, the good times come as well. And, you know, we're delighted for everyone. And, like, you know, and Frankie and the lads, you know, they've been there a long time with us back in 2007. You know, we won the Munster Club. And, you know, they went off and done their own thing and came back. And, you know, give the thing a breath of fresh air, I suppose. And, you know, they have good lads, Murta Brennan. And, you know, they're great men, like, you know, and we're just so proud of all of them, like, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, how important is that to have the likes of Frankie and Eamon Sini, who are involved in that 07 run, to be involved now and to, I suppose, be able to refocus the lads for the challenges that are upcoming still?
Yeah, it is hard, and lads would say, you know, things might go stale, but I suppose it's the respect, you know, and, you know, going back, like, you know, you look back to 2004 when we won the football county final, like, you know, Evan Sweeney and Kieran McGrath, and Pat McGrath was even playing wing back that day, you know, and that's, you know, and Frankie and them have been there, and, you know, they know lads inside out, and they know how lads feel, and, you know, sometimes maybe you get in an outside lad, and he mightn't understand lads as well, you know, and a lad could get upset or that, whereas with your own, I suppose, you sort of know the former lads, and, you know, and the lads just get the best out of them, you know, and it's brilliant, like, you know, that they've given such a commitment to Loughmore over the years, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose if there was any doubt, maybe the edge might go off Loughmore. I heard Brian McGrath speak during the week, and he was saying he couldn't wait to get to training on Wednesday night to get together again, and I suppose meet up with the lads, and I suppose get playing again, because I'd say the first weekend that comes where they'll have no match, it'll be nearly a shock to the system for a lot of players.
It will, yeah, because, you know, I know I always said that, you know, when former Tip lads you'd be talking, I always said the best time to beat Loughmore is at the start of the year, because when we get in a roll, you know, we're hard to beat. And, you know, you go to that field there on a cold Tuesday night, and, you know, all the parish women are over there bringing over soup and sandwiches, and there's a great buzz, you know, the kids are over there, and, you know, there's a great camaraderie, and it's a real parish thing, you know, and when that thing rolls on, and, you know, for weeks and weeks, it just gets stronger, you know, and it's hard to beat, like, you know, and that's why the boys, you know, are as tight as they are, because just that, you know, that whole parish thing is just brilliant, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I bring in Joe, and Joe, you're involved with JK Brackens the last few years, and I suppose if you take a small crumb of comfort as their neighbours, you were the only team in football that Loughmore didn't manage to beat this year.
I suppose they're a phenomenal group of players. In fairness, you could have nothing but respect for them. You know, they just keep going and going.
You had a big lead in them in half time, but they came back at you and they managed to get a draw for a finish.
We did, Shane. We kind of felt, I suppose, or the way we approached the game was just looking at Loughmore the first day against Killinall, and even the last few years, they kind of try and start as fast as they can and get up the lead. And now, I wouldn't say they pull the handbrake, I wouldn't disrespect them like that, but they kind of, when they get up that 8 or 9 points lead, they kind of manage the rest of the game. So we kind of targeted the start. We really put a huge emphasis into the start that night. I think we went in either 9-3 or 9-4 up at half time, but like they just came at us in the second half in droves. And in one way, we were lucky to hold on. Now, we had one or two wides, I suppose, the same evening in the second half, but in one way, we were lucky to hold on. We just, they really came at us in the second half. And like, as I said, you just can't get rid of them. They're a great group of lads.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose one of the main reasons we have you on tonight is because, like, you would know the Clare scene very well, and the Hicon Aeroge of Ennis on Sunday. I suppose what challenge awaits Loughmore on Sunday?
Yeah, listen, it's going to be a massive game for both teams. It's going to be very tight, and I was looking at the bookies there during the week, and I think the bookies have it tight enough as well. You know, Aeroge haven't played, so they won the county. It's going to be 4 weeks ago this Sunday, so they've been kind of idle in 4 weeks in relation to competitive games.
Would their title have been against the grain, maybe, where maybe an achievement in winning a championship, I think it was the first time in 15 years, might be the max, you might say, in terms of what they might go for the year?
It was the first time since 06, Shane, yeah. And they lost one in 07 then, and they lost another one in 13, I think, right? But, like, if you're talking about teams at the start of the Clare Championship contenders, every year Aeroge are mentioned because they have an unbelievable pool of talent. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, there's going to be, on the Aeroge panel now at the weekend, say there are 20 players that they've been kind of using this year. Like, there's 9 or 10 lads that have inter-county senior experience, like, you know, which is massive. You know, they've at some stage or another, they've been involved with senior inter-county team, and they've been exposed to that kind of quality, I suppose. They've just probably been missing something the last couple of years. They've come up short maybe in a quarter-final or got caught in a semi-final. But this year, they just had that bit of steel. They just had that bit of steel that was needed to win it. They got caught in one of the group games. It didn't affect them. They dusted themselves down and picked themselves back up and recovered. And, you know, I wouldn't say they won the championship comfortable, but they went through a few of the games there in winning by 5-6 points, like, you know. So, like, and they beat some of the best teams. Like, they beat Brecon's in the semi-final, who took out Milltown the round before, and then they beat Kilmurry, the reigning mm-hmm. champions. So it was a hard-end championship. The only thing is now, the last 4 weeks they've been concentrating on maybe trying to get that quality into in-house games, and maybe the 21 championship that they played, getting their under-21s, that competitive game. But it's just totally different from Loughmore, who have been just playing week in, week out for the last, 17, 18 weeks now at this stage.
Absolutely. And just in terms of, Micheál, I'll come back to you in terms of, I suppose, Loughmore and their focus. They're a very methodical football team from the few games I've seen. Like, I wouldn't say they're cautious by any means, but they tend to wait for the opening to come. And I think in this game, from like Aeroge's point of view, from what I've learned about them, they're very, very solid defensively. So that composure and that willingness just to wait for the opportunity to arise will be huge if Loughmore to get a win on Sunday.
It will, yeah. I just thought they were coming into the last 10 minutes before that, like, you know, we were a bit reliant on, you know, working it in too much, and, you know, that we could have went direct. You know, in the first half, I think Noel McGarvey could have been inside a couple times on his own. And by you know, the I suppose you know the different. I suppose the teams vary, and I suppose back to the team when I was playing, it was a lot more direct, you know what I mean? And I know my father was beside me and we were shouting, like, you know, to kick it in, like, you know, and I suppose the stadium is a big field, and sometimes, you know, sometimes you need to put a good defence on the back foot by going direct, you know, and I think the few balls, like, near the end, we got the two frees and the goal, I think the free came out of that as well. They were direct balls that were kicked in, you know, and that sort of opens up a good team. Like, you can be, if you have a good defensive, you know, team, and you try and run it in the whole time, you know, you're going to get little change off them, you know, and sometimes you have to take that chance and, you know, go to, you know, give in a long ball. And, you know, and you have the likes of the two boys, you know, Conor Ryan, Conor McGrath, and those, John McGrath and Liam McGrath flying around, like, you know, they get breaks, and that's where goals come. And so that's the big games, you know, that's goals win matches. And, you know, I think if Loughmore are going to get goals, they'll have to go direct to that, you know, and try and open up a good defence like that.
Yeah, and I suppose from the last two times in what, 16 and 13, you were able to represent Tipperary and Munster. You're knocked out by Dr. Crokes in the first round. So look, I'm sure like it's not every year a club gets to represent Tipperary and Munster in All Ireland. So you don't know when this opportunity is going to come again.
No, you don't, and you're going into the unknown. Like, you know, it's grand if you're playing the likes of Clonmel and Thurles and that. You sort of know them, and you might have something that you own from the year before, and you know it's easy to get up for the games. And you know, I remember years ago, 2004, going down playing Stradbally and Waterford, and they turned us over. And I don't think we were mentally prepared, you know, that we weren't up for like we should, you know, like we would be in a Tipperary Championship match. And that's the thing about the Munster club. You know, anybody can win the matches because it all depends on the team that's actually grounded on the day, because it's a new thing and nobody really knows anybody, you know. So you've got to be, and I think hopefully our lads are more prepared because they've played a few, like, you know, we played Dr. Crokes a few times, and you know, we weren't far off them. They got a couple of goals, but it's just been, you know, switched on the whole time, and just it's a different level, I suppose. It's like the inter-county. You're going out playing, you know, different teams that you're not normally playing, and you have to be prepared for, like, you know.
Yeah, it promises to be a fascinating encounter on Sunday, that Munster Club quarterfinal, Éireogh Venice against Loughmore Castellani, 1 o'clock at Cusa Park and Ennis, live here on Tip FM. Micheál Webster and Joe Hayes, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Sam.
And that is one of three games this weekend in the Munster Club Football Championship for Tipperary teams. Tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 in Templetuohy, Drummond Inch take on Portlaoise of Waterford in the intermediate football quarter final. While at the same time in Mount Collins in Limerick, that's right on the Kerry border, it's Ballina, our junior champions, take on Mount Collins in the junior football quarter final. Now, all three games are being live streamed via the Munster Council website at clubber.ie. So anybody who's not able to get to the games can view them that way, or particularly for Loughmore supporters, if you can't get to Ennis on Sunday and you're not near a live streaming, you can have the commentary live here on Tip FM from 1 o'clock. Time for a break, and we'll be back in part two with Miller Shield. And you're welcome back to the show. And we stay with Gaelic games, where next Wednesday senior inter-county teams can resume training ahead. Sorry, can start training ahead of the 2022 season, with Tipperary hurling manager Colin Bonner and his management team set to burn the Midnight Oil this weekend as to put together their training panel following the final round of games in the Miller Shield tomorrow, where the North and the Mid clash in Bohorlann at 11 a.m. while at 1 o'clock in Cashel, it's the West can claim the Miller Shield if they avoid defeat against the South. So to assess the value of the Miller Shield and maybe some of the players that are looking to impress, Colin Bonner, and particularly from the club championship as well, I'm joined by JJ Kennedy, pens the West Side column in the National newspaper. JJ, you're welcome to the show.
Hi, Shane.
JJ, I suppose the overall value of the Miller Shield to the management, do you think it's been a good exercise overall?
I do. I think from Colin Bonner's perspective, it sends out all the right signals. It's telling players really that he's coming in, I suppose, with not quite a keen canvas, because you have the panel that was already there, but certainly he's coming in with an open mind, and he's anxious to cast the net as wide as possible, and anybody who's there and willing and able to put his hand up, he's anxious to see them. So you know, just from that perspective, from Colin Bonner's perspective, I think it sends all the right signals. Whether it'll actually, you know, reveal anything new, anything that we don't already know, I think is quite another matter. And you'd have to say probably not. You know, we pretty well know the players that are there. We've seen them with clubs. We've seen them with Tipperary underage teams. So, you know, the idea that somebody totally new would come out of the woodwork, I don't think will happen. But what it does give, I suppose, more than anything, maybe, is to, you know, those sort of marginal players who've maybe been on the tail end of the panel in recent years, or have been on and off the panel, and, you know, are fighting for a place on it. It gives those lads particularly, I suppose, a chance to show that their attitude is right, and that they're, you know, that they have a bit of form or whatever, and that they deserve to be in there. So from that perspective, you know, it's probably a useful exercise.
Yeah, and I suppose, as we know over the last few weeks, particularly the Sarsfields and Lochmore players, like they've shown their hand really by what they're doing in the club championship. So like they've been missing from these games. So maybe just focusing on your ends of the county in the west. Like I suppose they're they're in pole position to win this, and I suppose on paper they've been the least impacted by club games, and it's probably no surprise to see them going so well. And like they have a very strong line out again tomorrow. And I suppose a couple of names maybe that I would have thought of, the likes of Jack Ryan. I know he'd be Declan Ryan's son. Like, he really seems to have stepped up in terms of what he's contributed. I know he's young, but a guy that's really shown a bit in the club championship this year, and as well with West Tipperary in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think West Tipperary probably has, I suppose, the most stable panel, as you say, that they're not affected by club games, and they've shown fewest changes on the selections they've put out over the last number of weeks. And there's a few things I think that's interesting about the West Tip selection. I suppose one of them is the Dylan Kirk situation. You know, we remember he played with Liam Cahill for the under-21s, I think it was, at one stage, played wing back.
I believe this is by choice. He wants to play in the half-back line in these games.
Yeah, which in itself is interesting. You know, he's been there, I suppose, and on the Tip panel for a few years now, but always with a view to playing half forward, I suppose, someplace wing forward or centre forward or whatever. So it's interesting that maybe he's finding that tough, and maybe he sees a future for himself at half back. So you know, that's an interesting selection. And Owen Connolly again was you know, wing back, was selected midfield and played wing back in recent games, and I see he's back in full back again for this one. He's another guy, obviously, that, you know, has been very much on the fringe of the Tip panel there, and a guy that lots of people sort of tip to move on and maybe nail down his place on the team.
And if we look at a matchup maybe with Owen, like you're looking at Dylan Walsh, who's probably arguably maybe been very, very good for the South this year, and we saw how talented he was at minor level a few years ago. I suppose it looks like he's a guy that, I suppose, this is probably where the Miller Shield has great value for maybe a club like Ballingarry, who have struggled in the last few years, but a guy like him can really show something in these games.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I saw the first round of games in this Miller Shield, and certainly Dylan Walsh was one of the standout guys in that particular match against the North. They were well beaten by the North, but you know, he looked very sharp that day, and really looked to have something to offer. So yeah, he's certainly one of the guys that people will be looking to. They'll be looking to. You mentioned Jack Ryan. He's relatively new, and certainly he's developing well at this stage. I suppose players like Ger Brown and those as well, you know, who were on the panel, have been on the panel now for a number of years. And again, they're the type of guys that I'd imagine the county manager will be looking to see can they go that next notch? Can they just step up that bit more from previous years and really nail down their position on the county panel? And I think a guy actually that impressed me a lot the first day, first round of matches, was Clonalty's Enda Heffernan. And I wasn't at the second round, but again, I just see in reports that he was very impressive in the second round as well. So, you know, a guy like that, you know, may just do enough to attract Colin Bonner's eye, and he might decide that this guy is worth bringing in bring him into Morris Park for a while and see how he fares inside there in that company. So, you know, there's, and you can go through all the other divisional panels, I suppose. You'll have similar guys that in that position and have an opportunity. You know, Alan Tynan from Osgray looked handy enough the first day that I saw them. And again, you have, you know, the players, you know, the Kildangan players like...
Yeah, somebody like James Quigley, who's been there for a couple of years, and he's very, very consistent at club level, but never seemed to catch the eye maybe of the previous management to get a more than maybe a couple of minutes. I think he only played against Westmead, I think, this year as a sub.
He's certainly at club level. He's one of the best fullbacks around and has been for a number of years now. And you know, and you're looking at, you know, the Kilruan guys as well, like you know, the Keane O'Kellys, these fellows.
Craig Morgan.
I see he's listed as centre back for tomorrow's game. And again, they're guys that have shown potential. Were there at underage, looked very promising. People were expecting them to push on, and you know, maybe they didn't push on. Maybe they didn't get a chance. Other people would argue, I suppose, in the last year or two of Liam Sheedy's term, he very much stuck with the tried and trusted. And but I think Colin Bonner is going to have to go with a lot of these guys now, particularly in the, I suppose we were playing this Munster League and then before you go on to the National League. But I think you'd expect you'd see a lot of these guys getting match time in those games. You have to. There's really no other.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a Munster League and a National League where there's going to have to be nearly trial and error. I think maybe supporters are going to have to maybe accept that maybe there might have to be a couple of losses, but probably we know Brendan Maher's retired. It doesn't look like we're going to have any more retirements. So like the guys are going to have to get an opportunity, and sometimes you got to lose a few games maybe to maybe bake a cake at the end of it, a good cake at the end of it.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that, and it is a kind of a watershed moment in a sense. You know, the Sheedy era ending, I suppose, and as you say, only Brendan Maher is the only one that retired. People will be speculating and wondering, you know, what role people like maybe Noel McGrath and Shane Callanan and so on, what role they will have in the, you know, in the new regime and the new team that emerges. There is inevitably an element of rebuilding that has to be done, I think, at this stage. You know, the great era that we went through from I suppose, 2009 on up to, 2019, I suppose, and the last year or two, that era is definitely over. And I think there is definitely a sort of restructuring that's going to have to take place. And that means you're going to have to bring in new guys. And you're going to have to hope that a few of them at least will step up and will make the mark. You still have the core of the team, of course. You know, I mean, you're still going to have the main guys will still be there. But you certainly need two or three guys, the new guys that will come in to make an impression. And I'd imagine that's what Bonner will be working towards.
Yeah, and I suppose that people think, we have the Munster League and the National League, but the time frame is very short. Like, you're looking at Easter Sunday, probably the middle of April, and Tip and Waterford will be going to do battle in the first round of the Munster Championships. Like, that's probably, four months away. Like, it'll go by in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, it's a very short time frame, and while in normal terms, I have absolutely no time for this Munster League or these pre-season competitions in general. I think in past years they're more of a nuisance than anything. But actually, given where Tipperary are at, curiously enough, on this occasion, they're probably beneficial because I'd imagine Bonner will be delighted to have these extra few games. To try out some of the guys, because you know the end of January, beginning of February, first week of February, I think is that they
away to Leash, first round of the league
away to Leash, and you know, so you're into the helter skelter then of the league matches, and before you know it, suddenly you're building for the championship. So it is a very short time scale, and the year could be over. You know, by the if things don't go well, you could be out of everything by the month of May.
Yeah, and then you could we all want Loughmore to go as far as possible, but if they get it into maybe one or both of Munster finals post Christmas, you think that like the fatigue maybe for some of the guys that will have had a long club campaign, it's probably going to impact on maybe their ability to perform for Tip next year.
I think you've just hit there on a real concern that we have at this stage. I'm thinking particularly the likes of John McGrath. You know, he's been phenomenal, of course, in the club championship hurling and football Sunday after Sunday. He's been just incredible. But there is a real danger, you know. I mean, John went through a few lean years, the last few years with the county. His form just dipped and he just struggled to get back into the groove. He's now really, really on the top of his form. So you'd be hoping that it won't adversely affect him. And it can, you know. I mean, I think, for example, you know, Borsalee in their great year, arguably Brendan Maher never really got back to his best form after that All-Ireland Club final. You know, he spent the whole winter really performing at top level, and you know, one incredible display after another. But then when it came to the county championship, there really wasn't an awful lot more there, and he struggled with his form ever since. And that is a real danger that these Loughmore lads, you know, Noel McGrath and John particularly, and obviously Bonner. I think now Colin Bonner will have to bring in some more of those Loughmore guys at this stage. I mean, Kieran Connolly, I'd imagine, will be in, and Brian McGrath. Well, he's been on the panel anyway, but he has certainly, I would imagine, advanced his cause at this stage. John Maher probably as well. All these guys are going to have to get game time in the matches ahead. So it's a busy schedule ahead, Shane.
Absolutely. So we hope they go as far in the club campaign as they do as possible. JJ Kennedy, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks, Shane.
JJ Kennedy, given his thoughts on the Miller Shield and the new Tipperary panel, which will probably be announced sometime next week, the training panel for the new campaign. Time for another break, and we'll be back in part three with rugby. And welcome back to the show. We turn our attention to rugby, where round 8 of the All-Ireland League takes place this Saturday with all three Tipperary clubs in action. This week we're focusing on Cashel, who are in the promotion hunt in Division 2A as they welcomed Dolphin Spafield tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Earlier on I caught up with Cashel head coach Darragh Lyons and began by asking him about their impressive recent form.
Yeah, I suppose, look, we turned the corner a few weeks ago, I suppose, yeah. Look, it'll be a tough game tomorrow. They're very good. They're a good outfit. They're going well enough themselves now in the last few weeks. So, yeah, it'll be tough, but look, we're looking forward to it. It's only our second home game this year. So, yeah, to be honest, first lads looking forward to playing at home again. So, hopefully we can put another performance like we have been doing.
Yeah, as you say, your second home game, but you have 20 points in 7 matches, but 2 of your games had been cancelled because of COVID. So, like, your points tally could be anywhere between 4 and maybe 6 points higher. Like, so, I suppose that must be frustrating as well.
Yeah, look, it is, of course, I suppose. It's actually 2 games that we'll call off for home games. But, look, as I said, we probably, suppose, there's something on the back. And we packed that a few weeks ago now. And, look, as I suppose, our performances have shown the last 2 weeks, the level we can get there. And, look, there's more in us, and we're hoping to bring that out, I suppose, over the next 2 weeks. But, yeah, you're right, look, we could be a bit better. But, as I said, we're hoping to drive on over the next 2 weeks and get, especially tomorrow, I suppose, and get a win and get back up that table even more, yeah.
As you say, like, if you do win tomorrow, it sort of creates a bit of a gap where maybe yourself and maybe Queens, Buccaneers and Ballymena, it's sort of a heading into the second half of the season, it's a 4-way battle for promotion.
Yeah, look, I suppose that tomorrow is important, yeah. As you said, if we do win, we create that gap. But look, it's a very long season. We're not even halfway there yet. And look, I suppose there's peaks and troughs and there's ups and downs across the whole season that we've seen already. But yeah, look, you want to be in, I suppose, that top bit of the league come Christmas, and tomorrow is important that we win that and get up there.
Yeah, what has been the turnaround in form? What do you put it down to? Is it
Look, I suppose our performances here in the season weren't that bad either. We just had to tweak a few things. And I suppose in our attack mainly, and it was only a small few things. And look, we've done that in fairness to the lads, they bought into us. As I said, it's not a major change from what we've been doing, but we felt we needed it, and it has shown over the last 2 weeks that it's coming to fruition, that our attack is getting a lot better. And we're beginning to, I suppose, we're putting ourselves in the right areas. Early on in the year, we weren't capitalising on them, whereas in the last 2 weeks, we seem to be, I suppose we still feel there's more improvement there to go over the next few weeks again.
Yeah, and you're putting up some big points totals in the last couple of weeks, 40 points against away to Old Crescent last week. So, as you say, even as the ground is getting soft, it's not hampering your lads at all.
No, it's not. Look, I suppose that's the nature of the rugby season. Is a lot of it is in this type of weather. And as I said, look, we seem to be evolving our attack that we can score in with the forwards, and also we were getting joy out wide as well. So yeah, look, as I said, we have turned the corner, but there's still a lot more to go throughout the season. And look, we'll be trying to build on the last two performances now over the next few weeks and drive on into Christmas.
Yeah, as I say, you have to round 8 tomorrow and round 9 the following weekend, and you head into that Christmas break. I'm sure, like every club at this stage, you really want to be going into the Christmas break with a bit of positive momentum.
Exactly, yeah. Look, it's true, because there's a good 2 or 3 week break there. The last thing you want to do is go in with a loss. So look, I suppose all focus really is on tomorrow mainly, and then we'll worry about the following weekend. But yeah, you're right. Look, especially with a break, you want to go into a full of positivity. And look, we'll be hoping to do that over the next 2 weeks with the performances we put in.
Yeah, I suppose like the division, as we all know, is a very competitive one. I suppose, look, we're looking at the bottom of the table, Nina are bottom with just 6 points in 7 games. Are you surprised by Nina's struggles there? They have a big home game against Old Crescent tomorrow.
Yeah, look, they're a very good side as well, as we know ourselves. Every time we play them, there's not much between us. Look, that shows, you said, the competitiveness of the league. Anyone can beat anyone on any given day, as we've seen already this year. So look, it's as you said, it is very competitive, and I wouldn't be surprised if Neil came off that table fairly quickly as well, to be honest.
Cashel head coach Darragh Lyon speak with me ahead of their All-Ireland League game against Dolphin tomorrow at 2:30 in Spafield. As we mentioned, Dean Ormond bottom of the table, they have a very, very big home game against Old Crescent tomorrow in Lissatoni, 2:30 p.m. A win there would close the gap on second from bottom. Rainy Old Boys are 4 points adrift at the bottom, so it's a game they need to win. And also in Division 2 C, Clonmel second from bottom, they really could do with a win. They're winless in the season so far. They take on Tullamore tomorrow away from home. And before we go to a break, we'll send our congratulations to Federer's own Dorothy Wall, who has won on the double. She's been named both the Women's Players Player of the Year and the Women's Young Player of the Year by her peers in Irish rugby. A fantastic accolade for Federer's own Dorothy Wall. Like, the international team might be struggling as a group, but Dorothy's performances as an individual have been incredible this year, and we would congratulate her on a fantastic double, both the Women's Players Player of the Year and Women's Young Player of the Year. So congratulations to Dorothy. Time for one final break, and we'll be back in part 4 with soccer and greyhound racing. And welcome back to the final part of the show, and now we turn our attention to soccer, where after a couple of busy weekends of Munster and FAI Junior Cup action, the focus shifts back to the Premier League and the TSNDL this Sunday as it heads into the second half of the season. And to assess where things are at the halfway point, I'm joined by Tip FM's own Ronan Quirk. Ronan, you're welcome to the show.
Evening, how are you?
Good to have you along, Ronan. Looking at the table, we have in the Premier Division, I suppose the last few years, like St Michael's have probably had things roll their own way, but the halfway mark, we have St Michael's on 22, Clonmel Town on 20, Peak Villa on 19, having played a game less, every one of them without a loss. So, like, in terms of a title race, it's well set up at the halfway point.
Yeah, I mean, comparisons with the English Premiership are not unfounded in terms of it's a three-horse race. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no two ways about that. And I suppose the question that people are wondering this year is whether St Michael's have come back to the pack or whether the likes of Clonmel Town and Peak Villa have closed the gap on St Michael's. I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you, because St Michael's did lose a couple of players to Treaty United, and they're not the phenomenal force they were. Bear in mind, St Michael's won an FAI Junior Cup just a few short years ago and would be perennial favourites. One of the perennial favourites for that title. Mm-hmm. So they are still an extremely strong team, but Clonmel Town have improved and Peak Villa have improved. And so it's when you look at the fixtures this week, I mean, there is a standout fixture in that St Michael's are travelling up to Thurles to take on Peak Villa on Sunday. And that is a belter of a game.
Yeah, that's going to tell a lot.
It's going to tell huge amounts, but they've played already this year in the Munster Junior, and St Michael's went up there and to the Tower Field and won. And I think that puts pressure on Peak Villa this week, because Peak Villa are coming off a really good result in the FAI. They didn't concede a goal. They played really well. And they would have designs. They would see themselves as being comparable to St Michael's. And I don't think they see any clear blue water between them and St Michael's. They've learned a lot, I think, from that previous Munster Junior Cup tie. And this is the time that Peak Villa have to perhaps stand up and show St Michael's that they're here and that they are competitive, and they're competitive at the top of the table. So which puts pressure on St Michael's, on Peak Villa, I should say. St Michael's will come, you know, they're a team that's been on the road many years. There's very little that you can throw at St. Michael's that they're not able to handle. I mean, they've got such a good structure, such a good spine right down the middle. Their defence is really, really strong. So Peak Villa are going to have to come up ways to get Pippi Carroll on, you know, in front of goal to try and unlock that St. Michael's defence. I think Peak Villa are very, very capable of doing it, provided they obviously hold themselves at the back. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a draw, but I think there's more pressure on Peak than there is on Saints, but it's an intriguing clash.
I was going to say, it's Peak's home game. And again, in fairness, we're going through the three clubs. Like they've all progressed to the fifth round of the FAI Junior Cup. They're all sort of mirroring each other in both league and nationally as well. Like, so I'm like, there's no, these three teams are well capable of going very, very far in the national competition.
100% agree with you. And if you look at the Clonmel-Town St. Michael's game that was on in the complex in Clonmel earlier this year, St. Michael's got a late goal to draw that match. And I think that, you know, Town will look back on that game with some regrets as they didn't take all 3 points. But Paul Breen comes up towards the end, as Paul Breen has done for, I don't know, 15 years, and scores, equalises, scores winners with his head from a set piece. And Clonmel-Town will be disappointed to have conceded from a set piece so late in that game. But I think it showed that the gap between those two teams now is pretty much way for thin. And if then you see Town going and taking, getting a draw against Peak Villa. So you've got a situation where, you know, Town have drawn with the top two, the other two top sides in the top three. And therefore, what does that tell us? That tells us that there really is very little between them. So if you apply that to the Peak St. Michael's game, again, I think the same principle applies. Don't be surprised if it's a draw. But either side would be absolutely thrilled with the full 3 points.
Yeah, and I suppose in such a dog-eat-dog sort of league, like even draws can be costly. And like if you look at Clonmel, will be expected to beat Vera Rovers on Sunday. But like they've already had two draws, and they say anything but anything maybe outside of maybe not getting a positive result against the other two will be seen as a big slip-up.
I completely agree with you. And in actual fact, sometimes in previous years, the drama in the Premier League has been at the bottom, not at the top, because St. Michael's were so far ahead of everyone else that, you know, when you were looking for really good clashes every weekend, you were talking about relegation six-pointers, to use a well-worn cliche. But that's what happens in the Premier League. And not unusually again, we're going to have some really tight battles at the bottom. Now, V, you know, they're tough to beat when they're down at Scart, out near Clahean. They're a tough team. It's a tough place to go and get a result. But this is on in the complex. Really good surface. Clonmel able to spray the ball around. I really can't see V getting anything from this game. But maybe Padgo, Sean O'Halloran is looking at this and maybe saying, you know what, this is a free swing for Town. He has bigger fish to fry, and he knows that, you know, he's got big relegation battles ahead of him. So I'm not saying he's going to approach this game. God, he'd love to get a point out of this match. But Town will look at this, that I think you've summed it up really well. They can't, if they want to stay competitive, if they want to stay in this title race, they can't afford to be dropping points against the lower teams.
Absolutely not. No, it promises to be. I think we're going to know a lot more in the TSNDL race after this weekend. Ronan Quirk, I'm sure you'll wrap it up on Monday's night's extra time. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Not at all.
Ronan Quirk there, looking ahead to the latest round of games in the TSNDL. And in North Tipperary, the league continues apace there. It's coming towards a conclusion. And 4 games in the Premier League on Sunday, all at 11:30. Clodagh Rangers against Nina Celtic. Now, they're both second and third. So if there's Clodagh Rangers, if they fail to beat Nina Celtic, I think Killer Villa United will be crowned champions. We have Bally and a couple of big games down at the bottom. Ballymackie against Barraway Rovers, Boris Kane against BT Harps, and Lochdurg against Moneygall. All those games at 11:30. And as always on a Friday at this time of the show, it's time to talk dogs.
Yeah, I suppose, look, we've turned the corner a few.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
Apologies about that, but we have Barry Drake on the line. Barry, you're welcome to the show. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Shane.
Sorry about that, Barry. I pushed up the wrong mic. But, yeah, another big weekend in Greyhound racing, Barry. And I suppose, we have the local meetings to in Clonmel and Thurles. But you want to start with the Irish St. Ledger.
Yeah, that's right. Look, as we were saying in previous weeks, it was another fantastic competition and a great decider last Saturday night. Of course, €30,000 to the winner. Early on, it looked like Capo White trainer Pat Buckley was going to taste success with Derejet Sydney after he exploded from traps, showing massive early pace. He took them along down the back straight, but Ballymac Merlin for the Kerry kennel of Liam Dowling was sent off at an 8-1 outsider, but it showed massive pace down the back straight to take over from Derejet Sydney and staying on strongly in the closing stages. Success went to the Kerry kennel with Ballymac Merlin getting the better of Derejet Sydney by 3/4 of a length in 29.68. As I said, a wonderful competition throughout, and the €30,000 first prize went to the Dowling family.
Yeah, and I suppose we're heading into the Christmas period, but racing continues aplenty, and we have the Winter Racing Festival at Shelburne Park tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right, Shane. It's always one of the highlights in the racing calendar. Unbelievable racing from top to tail. We're expecting some really big performances on Saturday night. It's going to be a big attraction. There'll be a big crowd in attendance in Shelburne Park, but if you can't get there, of course, you can watch all the action live and Racing Post Greyhound TV. Channel 437. Just two to keep an eye on in Shelburne Park on Saturday night. We'll start with Tart Blake, who was sent off as one of the leading fancies for the Ledger final last Saturday night. Failed to strike a serious blow, but look, he's a very talented sort, and you know, he could bounce back to winning form running from trap number one there in the 10.08. Thank you to the Night of Stars Committee AAO, 550, €5,000 to the winner, and I'm going to be with Pat Blake, who's owned in Clonmel by Una Creed and Mary O'Connor. In terms of other action, as I said, look, breathtaking action throughout the night. Another one to keep an eye on in the following race, which is Joaf at 10.22. It's the retired Greyhound Trust AAO 525. I like Fiora Chris here for Con Guiney in Cork. This Greyhound has won 9 from 11 career outings, and I think he can get the job done in that race. As I said, look, it's just it's going to be an amazing night, and I can't wait to see all the Star Trackers in action.
And in terms of the local tracks this weekend, what's on the menu?
Yeah, Clonmel tonight, Shane. 7:30 start. Some good action throughout the night. Rat Cool Fox is the ground I'm sweet on. This son of Top Ancho has won 11 races, trained by Graham Holland. He finished third last time, and I think this represents a drop in class, and it would be disappointing if Rat Cool Fox couldn't record a 12th career victory. Elsewhere, Thurles, of course, on Saturday night, the feature race there is the Bonus Ball Stake, A2-A3 competition, €2,000 to the winner. Abigail's Power, running in trap number one for the Morrissey kennel, was a 29.36 winner last time. It's won 5 of its 13 career outings, and from trap number one, I expect that to go very close. As I said, that is the feature race in Thurles on Saturday night. In terms of Clonmel, on Sunday, it's a 7.30 start, and Owen McKenna, of course, he'll be in Shelburne Park, no doubt, on Saturday night, but he's got a real live contender in Clonmel on Sunday night. Almaz, running in the 8.48, which is race number 7 on the card. This Greyhound has won one of its 4 career outings, out of luck last time out at Shelburne Park, but back in the Tipperary circuit there in Clonmel. I think Almaz will get back to winning form, and it can record a 2nd career victory. So as I said, Shane, look, so much top class action to look forward to over the course of the weekend, but all eyes will certainly be on Shelburne Park on Saturday night, and no doubt there'll be plenty to talk about come next week.
Absolutely, and we look forward to hearing that on next Friday night show, where we have the wrap up of the week's Greyhound racing, and looking forward to next weekend's action. Barry Drake, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much, Shane.
And that is about it for this week's show. Another busy one, busy sporting weekend ahead in the Premier County. And don't forget, it starts tonight at 8:30 with the third Tipperary GAA Clubs draw of the current season, live from Lauren Park at 8:30. So we want to wish everybody who's in the draw the best of luck and have a bit of good fortune coming up to Christmas. While also a reminder, our live offering here on Tip FM this Sunday is the Munster Club Senior Football Championship quarter final between Airoga Venice and Loch More Castellini. Will have live commentary from 1 o'clock. That's about it for this week's show. Thanks to all my guests and to my producer Michael Brophy. I'll be back next Friday evening from 6 for another edition of Across the Line. After the news at 7, it's Premier Country with Carol Power. Bye for now.